question is, what comes after the storm? What kind of damage is done to our Constitution, to our personal freedoms, my God-given rights? Not government-given rights, God-given rights. That's what many people are wondering now. Because you look at the government coming in and telling you when you can move, when you can go, when you can stay, what you can do at the store and what hours you can go and all of these different things. And some, like Bill Gates, demanding we put the entire country in a lockdown. Of course, Bill Gates, maybe he should just talk to his people at the World Health Organization, because if they hadn't misled us and told us it was not contagious because they parroted what the Chinese said, the communist Chinese said, maybe Bill Gates' organization, the World Health Organization, could have saved thousands of lives. So, Bill, sit down and keep still. My next guest, Richard Ebling, AIER Senior Fellow, BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. Good morning.
Good to be here. So I see these outrageous ideas being put forth, like we should have mail-in ballots for the November election, this being put forth by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, because, good Lord, we can't possibly go to the polls. So we should trust somebody else to have our ballots mailed in like they do in California, because, gosh, that sounds like a good system, doesn't it, Professor?
Oh, yes, absolutely a good system. The fact is that there are many in government and many outside of government who, to use Rahm Emanuel's phrase, never want a crisis to go untaken advantage of for the policies that they want. And basically, this has been a misinterpretation of what can help save lives and improve the situation. And based upon that misunderstanding, a case for bigger and larger government.
Right. Let's take a case study. How did that government-run health care, considered the second best in the world by the World Health Organization, that being Italy, how is it performing under pressure?
It unfortunately has been a disaster. First, the government agencies made misdiagnoses, as you were suggesting a moment ago, about the nature and severity and the contagious quality of the disease.
I think I made a misdiagnosis. I think the communists lied, but I digress. Go on, Professor.
And then what did they have? What do they have in Italy and virtually all of these other European countries that are really suffering very badly, unfortunately,
right,
in terms of illness and death, was the fact that they have the kind of single-payer medical systems that our progressives and leftists and Democratic Party advocates want for the United States.
That's right.
Bureaucrats determine what the service is on, the quality, the medicine, and the methods of anticipating what might happen.
Yes, Medicare for All. It's being exposed in Italy, in Spain, in France, all of these places. The one place that the medical system seems to be performing fairly well is Germany. On a per capita basis, Germany is doing the best as far as fatalities per 1 million people. The United States is second, because I'm honestly going to tell you, Professor, I have no use for Chinese numbers. I think they're dishonest. There are enough indicators out there the number of deaths in China might be at about 70,000 in Wuhan alone.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yes, those numbers cannot be trusted. And analysts and Chinese who have the courage to speak out, and some of whom then have disappeared recently, have pointed out the inefficiencies and the exaggerated, distorted nature, the propaganda of those numbers. But what is important in looking at this is that this, you know, obviously government has to have a role, because this is a serious, contagious situation. But the problem is, how do you solve it? What will save lives? And that is, you don't want a top-down system. You want a dynamic, decentralized, competitive enterprise response to this, where people on the spot in different situations can creatively use their minds and their innovative capacities. And what I mean by this is that look at these examples that I think many of us have seen in the news. You know, there's this problem of the ventilators. Well, here and there, people improvise, come up with these ideas, these 3D printings, the concern about masks, what kind of masks and how effectively, and can we throw them away or use them several times? People start in different factories and different enterprises coming up creatively with answers to this. So, in fact, you want 1,000 flowers to bloom of these types of possibilities all over the economy, rather than waiting for the Food and Drug Administration
and
the CDC to be dominating and centrally planning what people are allowed to do.
Which brings up another point.
situation like this.
Great point you've made, Professor Richard Ebling here, and that is if the tests originally didn't have to go to the CDC and localities, county and state health departments could have been testing earlier and not being required to send all tests to Atlanta before they would get test results back, we would have been far ahead of the curve on COVID-19. It was the centralized government that created problems. Now, something else that the Democrats have clearly showed their hand on in this first COVID bailout, and now they want COVID-4, that'll be the Green New Deal and paper ballots and all sorts of stuff being mailed in. They wanted to be able to dictate to companies, if you took the bailout, we can dictate who will be on your board of directors. We will dictate how your racial makeup of that company will be. We will dictate how much money the guy in charge of the company can make. They want central planning. That's exactly what they want because they put it into the bill, Nancy Pelosi did, before it got taken back out.
Correct. This is a power play of assuring that when the crisis passes, what will America look like? Will it return to a system which government obviously has its roles and its places in our society to protect our rights and secure our liberty? But will it be an America of free enterprise, individual choice, dynamic and vibrant change and adaptability, or will it increasingly be a politically controlled and centrally managed top-down system where the politicians, the bureaucrats, and the special interest groups who are in cahoots with them, the crony capitalists who will end up being part of the system,
sure,
against real competition, dominate, control, and distort and stagnate what could be our continuing vibrant American economy?
Yeah, I think that you'll have a bunch of insane Keynesian economists who want to just say, oh, we'll do $10 trillion in stimulus. From where? Modern monetary policy, which is abject foolishness. I mean, we'll just print money. It'll be fine. Just throw money. It makes no difference, Professor. We'll all be fine. Just make more. It's insane. But more important to me is the fact that they will try to dictate these apps being put forth in the UK to track where people are so you don't get too close with somebody that's infected with COVID-19. The numbers for COVID-19 are disheartening today. 5,000 Americans have died. But I do not believe that this virus should be the death of the Constitution. Your word, final thoughts.
If we want a prosperous, free, and healthy economy, we want to preserve a competitive and open society. A top-down government control system assures not only a loss of freedom, but one that can dynamically no longer meet crises like this one, where we want as many minds free and adaptable to be applying themselves to solve our problems, not locked away under government regulations and controls, and therefore blindfolding us.
You couldn't be more right, sir. That's why you come here. Common sense and common decency, Professor Richard Ebling, AIE, our senior fellow, BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel in South Carolina. Sir, greatly appreciate your input. As always, keep your head down, be safe, and we'll talk soon.
And you too. Bye-bye.
There you have it. Good man. He is a good man. Common sense. That's what we come here to talk about. That's why it's the no panic zone. I'm not willing to trade the Constitution for my kids and grandkids and their kids and grandkids because of a pandemic that was predictable, very predictable, that several administrations failed to prepare for. This is the no panic zone on the Steve Gruber Show.
The average construction worker is earning from $16 to more than $30 an hour plus benefits and overtime. And right now, construction workers are in high demand here in Michigan. Fixing the roads, building bridges, commercial projects, and new infrastructure are all part of the big picture. Plus, construction jobs are cool. Find out more about the big opportunities here in Michigan. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner now. Start building Michigan's future and yours today.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.